The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Pat Kenny Show, it's Anton in for Pat. The Road Safety Authority is pushing for emergency legislation to double the number of penalty points given to drivers who are caught speeding and drivers who are caught using their mobile phones. For the latest on this, I'm joined by Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Morning, Ger.
Good morning, Anton.
Ger, do we have evidence that generalised speeding is what is driving the recent increase in road deaths?
Yeah, look, I don't know how we can pinpoint what's actually caused the increase. I mean, the numbers are quite stark. 81 people have died on Irish roads this year, and that's the worst on record for a decade. So definitely something is going wrong. I mean, the guards always say that about 30% of all fatalities are to do with speeding. Then there's driver distraction, that's due to mobile phone. There's obviously drink driving, drug driving. So I think there's a number of things. There's also issues with roads as well. I mean, you know, there's more dangerous roads than others. So there's a number of things happening at the moment. But I definitely think with the RSA here, it may be a case of the cart before the horse, in the sense that I think enforcement is the issue. It doesn't really matter what the penalty is, Anton, if there isn't a real risk of you getting caught.
Well, where you talk about the enforcement, when speeding fines generally, there's two ways to look at them. One of them is that there is a general increase in everybody's poor behaviour, and that if you increase speeding fines and penalty points, that you create a better sort of general set of behaviour. And then there is the anomalous poor behaviour of those who are willfully trying to speed. I would have thought that if you looked at the pattern of accidents that we're seeing in the increased numbers, there's an awful lot of the latter. We're seeing a lot of single vehicle accidents. We're seeing a lot of accidents where it would appear that the speed is multiple times the posted speed limit, rather than a driver simply not paying attention and creeping up by 10 or 20 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, but there's nothing new in that, Anton. We have always had, number one, 80% of fatalities are always males. Early hours of the morning are particularly dangerous. Single car collisions have always been a feature of fatalities on Irish roads. So there's nothing new in that. I suppose the thing to look at, though, is if you look at the compliance rate on the likes of where the average speed cameras are on the motorway and also in the port tunnel, there's like 98% compliance. So it does prove you can slow people down where there's a real risk of getting caught. And I suppose the hope is that if you're slowing people down all of the time, that somehow that knock-on good behaviour, you know, permeates throughout the entire kind of driving population. And that's the idea, I suppose, more than anything. But you're always going to have, I mean, I spoke to road safety experts in Scandinavia and Sweden, where they have the best and the safest roads in Europe. And they'll still tell you they have people who just willfully speed. And there's nothing you can do with them except just simply enforcement, impose high fines. But you're always going to have them no matter what you do. But I suppose the idea is to slow down the general population.
But isn't that the issue where you raise with enforcement, that it is those people who believe that they can go out and do it without getting caught by anybody, that until that attitude changes and they have a sense that they are likely to get caught, there's no difference?
Yeah, though, having said that, I mean, look, as I said, with the RSA proposal, you would need enforcement. But if you improved enforcement and you doubled the penalty points, I think that would make a huge difference. I mean, all of a sudden, if you were caught speeding once and you're halfway to losing your driving license, I really do think that would make people think twice. Now, whether it'll make that, you know, cohort of that, you know, outliers who just speed regardlessly, whether it'll make them think twice. But I think being halfway to losing your license with one offence would make most people think, you know, twice, definitely.
What about the fairness of it for women? Because 4 out of 5 of the drivers involved in fatal accidents are men. So as you said, so this seems to be a very blunt instrument from a female perspective.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're not breaking the speed limit, you don't have to worry.
No, but my point being, if you're increasing the penalty for generalised speeding, so if somebody is doing 127 kilometres an hour in a 120 zone, they suddenly discover they're halfway to losing their licence. If you are a woman, you are highly unlikely to be a contributor to road deaths behind the wheel, statistically speaking, yet you are now being given double the punishment, though you're not a contributor. Is that fair?
Well, at the same time, though, can you honestly say that one set of speeding is worse than another set of speeding? You know, in the end of the day, either if you break the speed limit, the penalty is imposed regardless. So it doesn't matter whether it was in a 50 kilometre zone or on a motorway. The idea would be that this would be a deterrent. So I think, you know, you can't say it's more unfair to one set of drivers than the other, in the sense that nobody is under the obligation to break the speed limit. We can all comply with it full stop, and therefore we don't have to worry about the fairness of these penalty points.
But the behaviour that you're trying to affect, I would have thought, only the behaviour they're trying to influence is only demonstrated by effectively half the population.
Yes and no. Well, I'm sure there are women who do excessive speed as well. It's not just solely men. Yes, men are more likely, 80% are, they're more likely to take risks and everything. But I mean, you're not imposing penalty points for speeding because people die on the road for speeding. You're also imposing it because it's a dangerous habit to have. It's a dangerous practice. I mean, you don't have to kill somebody. You could seriously injure them. You put other people at risk when you speed. So it's that sort of behaviour you're trying to change. It's not necessarily punishing those who are most responsible for the deaths on the road. It's a far more complex situation and a far more bigger picture that you're trying to address.
What about alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, alcohol seems to be a big thing. Again, I was quite surprised by the figures that came out today. 137 motorists were arrested for intoxicated driving. Now, I know intoxicated driving now means drug driving, and anecdotally, drug driving seems to be becoming a much greater issue than driving. But I know the RSA did a survey recently and they found that attitudes towards drink driving were actually softening, which seems extraordinary in this day and age that people have, they see it as a less harmful activity than they might have done 10 years ago. So I would have thought this is something just people don't do anymore, but it appears to be something that is becoming another, you know, a bigger issue, that and drug driving.
And contributes to 2 in 5 of all driver fatalities.
Yeah, well, in the sense that alcohol has been taken. So it's always very hard to pinpoint what's the exact cause. But yeah, there's an awful lot. And I think it's 11% of fatalities in the morning, the early hours of the morning, as in, you know, sort of from 7, 8 o'clock, that people have drink in their system as well. So it is, it's a contributor, very definitely a significant contributor.
But is that another issue to do with the enforcement versus the penalisation? The penalty for being caught drunk driving is very significant and it's very immediate and there is no way around it. Yet we still have hugely high numbers of people who are drink driving, and we have still 2 out of every 5 driver deaths caused by drink driving. That would suggest that the penalty isn't the issue, the enforcement is the issue.
Yeah, well, that's my point about the RSA. Unless there is a real risk of getting caught, it doesn't matter what the penalty is. I mean, if you look at uninsured drivers, it's something like 1 in 12 on our roads. And the penalties for that are very severe as well. And you can end up going to prison. You know, there's high fines. So there is, I mean, if you cannot increase penalties and think that you're going to change driver behaviour, the biggest thing is a risk of getting caught. And then if you then increase penalties, you'll really have, I would imagine, some sort of an impact. But the key thing seems to be your chance of getting caught.
The RSA has said, and Liz O'Donnell, the chair of the RSA, is quoted in the papers today saying that it is a government issue to change the law to bring in the new penalty points, and that the RSA can't make the government do this, but that they would hope that they would. What of the RSA's culpability in things like the softening of attitudes to drink driving and speeding? Because surely that's squarely in their bailiwick.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes the RSA get blamed for an awful lot of things that aren't really within their remit. And I think the name, the Road Safety Authority, probably is at odds with what they actually do. But one of the key things they do is public awareness. And if that, as you say, has softened, then you know, you have to say, where did that go wrong? And it has to go back to them. I mean, I remember like a decade ago and even longer, there were very hard hitting ads on the TV about the impact of drink driving, about the impact of speeding. We don't have those anymore. And while I know the medium of TV isn't what it used to be in terms of the effectiveness of getting through to people, there are other ways of doing it. That said, I know the RSA look at TikTok and all various different social media platforms to get message across. But I just wonder how effective those messages have been over the past few years if we do have that situation.
Text to say, Anton, I'm truly frustrated by the discussion on road safety. I did 700 kilometres over the last week and the issues I saw all had a theme. Young men behind the wheel who weren't adequately trained in how to drive and were driving aggressively, speeding, overtaking, not paying attention. Enforcement with this group in particular is the only solution, and let the rest of us get on with our business. No one wants to hear the PR spin of the RSA. Another, there are never speed vans on dangerous roads all over the country. A lot of them are simply catching fish in a barrel. New drivers are now on the road with a full license after just 12 to 24 hours behind the wheel. Unforeseen consequences of new driving license rules for new drivers. Another, the points should be relative to the degree of speeding. If I get caught doing 110 in a 100 zone on a quiet dual carriageway at 6 a.m, is it fair to get 6 points as someone doing 140 in the same zone? What of that, Ger?
Yeah, Shane Ross tried to bring that in. And I remember at the time, this idea that graduated speed fines, that for exactly that idea, that depending on where you were speeding and how much you exceeded it. But I remember at the time when the arguments against it was, it would just cause so much problems and it would be tied up, and there'd be all sorts of legal claims about it. Because if you were caught, you know, if 1 kilometre of the speed limit made a difference to the kind of fine you got, people would appeal it, and there would be all sorts of things. So I think in principle it was probably a good idea, but it would have, I think, proved quite unworkable in Ireland, which is a shocking thing to say, but I think it would have been. And I don't know if it would have got across the message. The message should be, I think, that speeding is wrong, not that speeding in some areas is worse than others. Just the message should be effectively, do not speed.
Can we go back to where we started in all of this, Ger, which is the significance of the issue as we now face it, because it is being characterised as a major crisis by virtue of the fact that we've had an increase in road deaths. Comparatively to where we once were, I mean, we averaged 400 deaths a year up to about 2005, up to about the early 80s, we were averaging 600 a year. We are still a fraction of what was once our major problem.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of reasons for that. And I think motorways have been a big contributor to that, just better roads and, you know, more serious penalty points on drink driving and a different attitude to drink driving. There's all sorts of contributory factors to that. But at the same time, Anton, I think the problem in Ireland at the moment is we're going in reverse in terms of the rest of Europe. The rest of Europe are actually reducing deaths. And also the figure you really have to look at is the deaths per million. And people always say, oh, but the population is going up. And is that not what the reason is? Actually, the population is increasing, but our deaths per million has gone up quite considerably as well. So I think we're now 7th in Europe. We were, you know, 3rd and 4th. So, I mean, there's still small numbers and small figures, as you say, in the terms of all of the countries in Europe to be the 7th safest or whatever. But the problem is that trend is getting worse year on year for the past 3 years now. And as I said earlier, like the death rate now is higher than it has been in a decade. So, yes, we can take comfort from where we came from. But I still think, you know, the issues at the moment are that, you know, the numbers are going up too fast.
Ger, thank you very much. That is Geraldine Herbert there, the motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.